Okay. If it seems like we haven't had a chavura in a long time, I think that's an accurate perspective. I apologize for the circumstances largely beyond our control that led to this long break, but we will, with Hashem, make it up. We left off last time, the bulk of the previous chavura, we discussed the relationship between Takanos Rebbe Shemesados and the form of Benos Yisrael that was codified by Reb Zera. Takanos Rebbe Shemesados instituted that we are essentially, at least the way most Rishonim understand, always machmir misafik to treat a woman with the chumras of a nida and a zava. And we explain that according to most Rishonim, the chumra of Benos Yisrael only adds on a little bit in a situation where there's a riya of one day, so that adds on an additional day of a count of seven. But lemaisa, if you had 3 days of riyos, then both according to the Takanos Rebbe Shemesados, you need 7 days without a riya, and that's true for chumra benos yisrael, which doesn't add anything to that in that particular situation. So we discussed the Gaya Masechta Siman Daled, which is quoted by some of the contemporary Sfarim, who raises the question that if we assume, like one position of Rishonim, that chumra benos yisrael is simply a takana and add an absolute, it's only a minhag and add an absolute takana, does that mean that there's sometimes grounds to potentially be makel about Shiva Nakiyam? And we pointed out that unless you say what we suggested, that maybe this Gaya Masechta is going with the Raviyah, that in fact the original Takanos Rebbe Shemesados was not accepted beyond the Amaratzim, and the Chumra Benos Yisrael added onto that and that it was broadly accepted. If you don't assume that way, then even if you're going to be makel on the Chumra Benos Yisrael, that doesn't help you too much because you still have the Takanos Rebbe Shemesados, which in most situations requires the same weight of Shiva Nakiyam. Most contemporary poskim reject the Gaya Masechta Lemaisa. I just came across another Mar Malkam of note, which is interesting. In the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo, which is a collection of Shlomo Zalman's Tzakim, there's a 3-volume collection of Shulchan Shlomo on Inyanei Refuah. So if you look in the third chelik there, on page Kaf Hey and Kaf Vav, they have the following Mar Malkam quoted there in footnote Mem Ches. He quotes a Shaila that's asked to the Chazon Ish about a situation which I don't quite understand medically. This must have been 1950 science. I asked the doctor, I asked the posek, and neither of them were familiar with the science going on here. But apparently what's represented in the Shaila was as follows, that a woman was having difficulty conceiving, and the medical recommendation was to pump air into her uterus, and somehow that procedure would potentially increase her fertility, and the chance of conceiving within 72 hours of pumping in the air would be significantly increased. The problem was that in order to pump in the air, they needed to make an incision. That incision led to bleeding. The representation that was presented to the Chazon Ish was that bleeding was dam maka. We'll discuss later on that even though, generally speaking, blood that comes min hamakor, blood from the uterus, is mitame a woman, but if there is a known maka, a known wound, and the blood is just coming from that wound, maybe even in the rechem, definitely outside of the rechem, you could be tola on that maka, and the blood is not tame. So the representation medically was that the incision made was dam maka and not dam min hamakor, and therefore it should not render the woman tmeya. So the Chazon Ish is quoted as saying that even though he was skeptical as to whether this was indeed dam maka, he made the following recommendation, that if the situation is such that the woman is going to see blood for just a limited period of time on one day, then she should be shameres yom kineged yom, meaning she should treat herself simply as a zava ketana, and then be tovelas on the next day, and then she could attempt to conceive. I chumra benos yisrael of 7 days. So in this situation, where anyway it could be the dam zamaka, you could be meko on the shiva nakiyam. So this is just an interesting mamakam. Again, the science I don't quite understand. It's not a procedure, as far as I know, that is done nowadays. But the theory there was that, at least in a specific situation, the Chazon Ish used the fact that Chumra Benos Yisrael is only a minhag, at least as a sniff, to be makel together with other factors. So just a marmokum of note, again quoted in Shulchan Shlomo and Yani Refuah, Chela Gimel, page Kaf Vav. Practically speaking, again, poskim generally are not inclined towards the Galia Masechta that we quoted, and we look for other ways of assisting people in this situation, but not to be makel on the fine and cake. Okay. So now we are going to begin studying Hilchos Nida for real. Everything until now is a hakdama. And then as a note, we've been discussing until now the definition of Nida min HaTorah and Zava min HaTorah, the distinctions and the practice of Takanas Rebbe in Chumrah Benos Yisrael. From this point on, when we use the term Nida, we mean what we practically refer to as a Nida, who is someone that may have the chumras of both Zava and Nida, but for all intents and purposes, that's what we mean when we say Nida. It's not to the exclusion of a Zava. So, min HaTorah, in order for a woman to become a Nida, you need the following three situations. Number one, the dam that comes out has to be a dam that is a maritame. It's a shade of red, which is tame. So that we will be discussing in Simen Kuf Pei Ches. That's not today's topic, but it has to be one of the maras hatmeos. Number two, the dam has to be min hamakor. It has to be uterine blood. And number three, the dam has to come, the hargasha, it has to be accompanied with a sensation. So the bulk of our discussion today will be the beginning of hargasha, defining, explaining what hargasha is. But before that, we'll just discuss briefly a little bit about dam min hamakor. The Rush in, if you have a Gemara in front of you, if you take a look in Perek Yud, Simin Vav, the Rush quotes a drasha from the Taras Kohanim. It's on page Ches in the standard pagination of the Gemaras with the Rush in the back. Just as a bibliographical note, in case you haven't noticed, if you're ever looking for the riff in Hilchos Nida, if you haven't noticed, you won't find it in your Gemara, because the riff in Hilchos Nida is printed in Shavuos, right. Together with the sugyas in the second parak there in the Maseches Shavuos. So if you're looking for the riff and don't find it, that's why. However, the Rush is printed, the Rush is on the Masechta, and the Rush, both Hilchos Nida and Hilchos Mikvos, is printed in the Gemara Nida. So the Rush here, in Perek Vav Simen Yud, quotes a brisa from Taras Kohanim, Tana Rabbanan, V'isha ki siyeh zava, yachal afilu zava mikol makom. Maybe you would have thought that the blood can flow from any location in the body. Tama lomar, v'hi gilsa es mekor dameha, limeit al hadamim she'enan ela min mekor. So the Nedar Shalacha learns out from this pasuk that in order for a woman to be tmeya, the dam has to come min ha makor. That is maramakom number one that you should be aware of. That's how we know that it has to be min ha makor. Now, maramakom number two, if you take a look at the Gemara on daf mem amud beis, the Gemara here has another drasha. Actually, take a look at the Mishnah. Take a look at the Mishnah in Daf Mem Amud Aleph. The Mishnah, the beginning of Perek Yotzei Dofen, the third line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Ko Hanoshim Mitamos Beveis HaChitzon, that women are mitame, they become tameos, if dam is found in the Beis HaChitza. What is the Beis HaChitza? So for our purposes now, the uterus opens into the cervix, which opens into the vaginal area. So we will, Mir Hashem, after the Yamim Tovim, I've been corresponding with Dr. Zalman Levine, a Rabbi Dr. Zalman Levine, who is a Muslim of our yeshiva, and a practicing physician who is in the field of fertility, but also with the OBGYN experience before that. We'll be bringing him in, Beretz Hashem, hopefully twice over the course of the year, but he'll come in after the Yom Tovim to discuss some of the relevant anatomy that is important to know for Hilchos Nida and some of the medical situations that we may address in the coming Chavuos. But for our purposes now, we'll define Beis HaChitzon as the area outside of the uterus, probably outside of the cervix, in the vaginal area that's still inside the body. So women are tameos if dam is found in the Beis HaChitzon. So the dam comes out of the rechem and finds its way into the Beis HaChitzon. Shenamar dam yezava bivsara. That the dam is bivsara. So even if the dam hasn't left her body, as long as it has exited the uterus and now is in the Beis HaChitzon, in the body, she's already tmeya, even though the dam has not left the body. So again, we've seen so far that in order for a woman to be tmeya, the dam has to be min harachm, has to come from the uterus. And even if it hasn't yet left the body, as long as it has left the uterus and is still somewhere in the Beis HaChitzon, she is already tmeya. Good. Are we here? Okay. So poskim, contemporary poskim discuss, this is probably as good a place as any to just mention this, the Badi Yoshochan has this, a brief marmakam on the topic in the end of Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, if you saw it. So contemporary poskim discuss, what is the status of a woman who has a hysterectomy, which means she has a procedure that removes the uterus, removes the rechem, and then she sees dam. So does that dam render her a nida? So the in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Pei Ches Siv Hei, we'll get to this at some point later. There's a discussion there about a woman who is ne'akra harechem, a woman whose rechem is somehow misplaced. It's not exactly sure what the science is. There's something wrong with the rechem. It's still there, but it is ne'akra. And there's a discussion as to what dam in that situation makes a woman tmeya. So there, if the dam still comes from the rechem, she's tmeya. If it comes min hachasichos from other things other than the rechem, which are somehow floating around because of the ne'akra situation, then she is not tmeya. But generally, contemporary poskim assume that if a rechem is totally removed, if it's nitla rechem, if there's a procedure that removes the rechem totally, then any dam that she sees cannot make her tmeya, because it's not dam in a makor, because there is no makor in that situation. This is expressed, for example, in Tshuvas Har Tzvi, Yaradeya Simen Kuf Mem Zayin, a brief tshuva of Tzvi Pesach Frank, that a woman who has a total hysterectomy, there are procedures where only part of the rechem is removed, but if the entire rechem is removed, then any dam that she sees cannot make a woman tmeya. I was just looking around, apparently in the last years where there were data, this procedure was performed about 600,000 times annually in the United States. Primarily, the most prevalent reason is if Rahman Muslan, a person has cancer, and it's medically suggested that removing it could prevent the spread of the cancer. That's the main situation in which the procedure is done. There are other reasons to do it as well. So Tshuvas Har Tzvi says, if the dam is coming out of a woman that has no rechem, it is not dam tmei. Rav Schechter quoted a tshuva of the Kinei Bosem, Rav Meir Bransdorfer, Zechor Nelevracha of Bnei Brak, Tshuvas Kinei Bosem Chelek Aleph Simen Tzadi Ches, which is a tshuva, brief tshuva written to Rav Osner, Zechor Nelevracha, in which he assumes as well as a Davar Pasha that if it is Ne'akra HaRechem, if the Rechem is totally removed, then a woman is not Tumeya. The issue that he discusses is what about Zayin Nekiyim, a situation where a woman is already a Nida when she has a procedure, and because of the procedure, there's a lot of bleeding that continues for a significant period of time. It's not uterine blood, it's not dam in a makor, but there is blood, and she can't count Shiva Nekiyim because there's constantly blood. So he suggests, he's reluctant to pass in the Sway Lamaisa because no one ever said it before, but he thinks it's probably correct, that the only reason, we'll discuss more about bedikos as we continue through the year, but the only reason that you need to do bedikos is to establish that there's no dam tamei anymore. So if you know for a fact that the dam coming out is dam tahor, so maybe you don't have to have the formal bedikos. So that's an issue that he raises over there, but again, he makes the same assumption as well. There's an interesting tshuva in the Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak Dayan Weiss, Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Kaf Hei, and Simen Kuf Kaf Vav. So he also assumes, as a matter of theory, that if in fact the rachum is totally removed, a woman could not be Tameya anymore going forward. However, he's skeptical about the representation of physicians that indeed the rachum is totally removed. He says you can't believe the doctors necessarily, and even if they tell you they remove the whole thing, maybe there's some of it left. And after all, the woman that he was addressing still sees some dam. So how do you know that the rachum is really totally removed? He has an interesting mar makom. He quotes the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Pei Zayin about Avram Avinu and Sarai Menu. That the Gemara says that Avram Avinu was ochel chulin betara. Avram Avinu was makbid not to eat any food that was tameh. And that day, Sarai Menu was pirsa nida. Right, Sarai was an akara; she wasn't able to conceive. And that fine day, she becomes a nida. So he assumes, based on Rashi and Yavamas Membeis, what's the definition of akara? Rashi writes, akara means nekar rachma. That the nekar rachma, the nitla ha'em, that the uterus was removed. So he says, you see from there that the definition of akara was that the uterus was removed. So Sarai Menu had no uterus at all. And now suddenly she's pirsa nida. So it sounds like a woman could be a nida and be tameya even if there's no uterus. So what's the answer to that? Right, so he said, no, the whole thing's an ace. You can't bring any rise from that. And even that definition of Rashi that akara means, nekra ha'ein, doesn't necessarily mean nekra lagami. It could be that part of it is still there. It's just not functional. So he thinks that in theory, it could well be that if the ein is totally removed, if the rachum is totally removed, then a woman can't be tamei anida, but he's skeptical about the signs. So he corresponded, this tshuva was written in 1933, he corresponded with the Ragachover, and the Ragachover wrote him a brief letter where he basically has the same skepticism that how do you know you can believe the doctors? And then he has a tshuva also from the Zakan Aaron, same time, where the Zakan Aaron says that no, if it's if the rachum is removed, then a woman cannot be tamei anida. And then he has a correspondence with a doctor from Prague. And he wanted to know the mitzvahs from the doctor. So the doctor tells him that if a woman, there are many situations in which a woman could have her rachum totally removed and still be seeing dam. And he goes through various places where the dam could be coming from. However, he says, if the woman is seeing dam at regular intervals, if she has a vest and she's seeing dam at regular intervals, so then you have to assume that the rachum was not totally removed, because otherwise how could the dam be coming out at regular intervals? So I asked my friend Rabbi Dr. David Shabtai whether there is such a situation, if you could have a total hysterectomy and the rachum is totally removed and yet you could see dam on a regular basis. So he said there is a possible situation. As we explained briefly earlier, the dam that comes out of the rechem is dam that comes from the endometrial lining, the lining around the rechem, which the Chazon Ish refers to as the chelek hasfogi. So the endometrial lining is made up of endometrial cells. So sometimes, even if the rechem is removed, apparently, you could have endometrial cells that attach themselves to other areas of the woman's inside. And sometimes these endometrial cells could, in theory, bleed on a regular basis, even though they're not any longer attached to the endometrium. So, theoretically, it may be possible for a woman, even without a rachem, to have some regular bleeding. And even in that situation, that would not make her tamei. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Simen Kuf Pei Gimel, Isha Shiyasa Dam in the Korah, Bein ba'ones, bein ba'ras on tamei. So if a woman sees dam that comes from the makor, then she is tamei whether the dam comes out ba'ones or ba'ratzon. What does it mean, ba'ones or ba'ratzon? The ba'ratzon means the normal way that it comes out, based on normal triggers, the normal biology. And what does ones mean? So if you look in the Taz writes over here, ba'ones perish ayde kvisa. That a woman jumps in an abnormal fashion. She does something, some abnormal physical activity, and that leads to that leads to a re'iyas dam. That also would make her tameya if the dam is min ha-makor. Is that a question?
If she jumps and blood comes out,
right?
That's probably not. That's beyond not normal. That's probably dangerous.
So we're probably talking about a situation where there is excessive jumping, and then she probably should see a doctor. But lahalacha, if that is dominant makor, then it would still make her tameya. That is based on Rambam, Perek Hey, Halacha Aleph. Rambam has another situation which would be included in the onus category, and that is of dam chimud. We'll discuss dam chimud later on. That's not our topic right now. Okay, but this is a Gemara. The Gemara in Lamed Vav tells us that a woman is tameya even if she is ro'em machnas ones, nida lamed vav amid beis. That's bein ba'ones, bein baratzah. Okay. And then one more note before we get to the main discussion. The Rama, in the end here, Simon Kuf Pe'gimel, makes a reference to Meshuvah Sarivash. The Rama writes, Kvar yisbayar mishpat ha'lekaman, ve'ein chiluk bein penuya l'nesua l'inyan iser nida. So the Isser Nida applies equally to a married woman as to a single woman. The Isser Kares of Ba'al Nida does not apply any differently to a single woman as to a married woman. It's just worth noting that in the Tshuvas HaRivash, that you don't need the Rivash to tell you that. It's a Paskin Chumash, and there's no indication otherwise. The Rivash says as much. But the Rivash knows in Simon Tav Kav Hey, the Shaul asked him, so if it's true that the Isser Nida, the Isser Karis of Baal Nida applies equally to Penuyos, then why don't we instruct Penuyos to go to the mikvah to prevent themselves from violating Averos? If a Penuya who is not a Nida is involved in a relationship of Panuy HaBaal Penuya, so that may even only be an Isser Derabanan, at worst it's a Lav, but it's not a Chiyuv Karis. So why do we save a woman from a greater Averos by instructing Penuyos to be Tovel? So the Rivash answers, Adarabba, Im Haisa Tovelas Hayaba Mishol, that if we instructed women to be Tovel, so that would lead to a greater Mishol, that people are going to think that there's no Isser of Pani Abba Penuy at all, that that's why they're going to the Mikvah, and we would be encouraging a promiscuous society. They'll say, it's only Aser Midrabanan, it's not really Aser, and we would have a hand in encouraging situations of promiscuity. So this is just worth noting, because there seems to be, in certain elements of the community, such an orientation to open a mikvah for anyone who wants. A mikvah is used in three situations. It's used for a woman to be Muteras Abayla, it's used in a situation of Geras, and it's used for a kala before she gets married. Other than that, there's no other situation in which a single woman should be using a mikvah. If Neheri Yibana Mikdash, when we're concerned about Taurus again, and presumably at the time when there was a Beis HaMikdash, when we were concerned about Taurus, then everyone would go to the mikvah because it had nafkaminas for Tum and Tara, not only for Hatur Labayla. But nowadays, there's no reason, and the post can discourage having any situation in which you're going to tell a penuya to go to the mikvah. Yeah.
Does he declare it to be like a formal
issur
or a cherem if they actually do go?
He doesn't call it a formal cherem, but he says it's inappropriate. It's the wrong thing to do. So that should be discouraged. Definitely not encouraged. I think traditional mikvahs have such a policy. You won't. You can't just show up and do what you want. Okay. So the Gemara tells us, and daf nun zayin amidays, a drasha attributed to Shmuel. The Gemara says right after Mishnah, nida nun zayin amidays, amr Shmuel, bodka karka olam v'yashva aleha. So if a woman examines a piece of earth, and the piece of earth is clean, there's no dam in it, and then she sits on this piece of earth, and she finds dam, she is tahora, even though one could make a reasonable assumption that the dam that she finds on this piece of earth came from her body, because a minute ago there was nothing there, and then she sat in it, and then she found dam. Nevertheless, she is tahora, shenemar bivsara, at shetargish bivsara. So the pasuk tells you, bivsara, that in order to be tamea, she needs to have a hargasha. She has to have, what we'll translate for now, as a sensation. The Gemara goes on with the whole shakar retire that takes you to the top of the next amud as to whether this is true. And the maskanas of Gemara is that, we'll just explain the Gemara for now like Tosos. The maskanas of Gemara is that while it is true that min haTorah you need to have hargasha in order to be tamea, nevertheless, mi derabanan, a woman is tamea even if the dam comes without hargasha. So, according to biblical law, a woman could only be tamea if the dam was accompanied by a sensation. According to rabbinic law, if she sees dam, even if there was no sensation, she is tamea, and that's what we refer to as a kesem, as a state. And then we'll discuss that there are certain kulos that we have in Ksamim that we don't have elsewhere, that if a kesem is less than a kigris of the ode, less than a certain size, then a woman is not tamea even midrabanan if it's found on a dabar she'ena mekabel toma, if it's found on something which is not mekabel toma, and there's machlokas, but we paskin, if it's found on a deget savua, a colored garment as well. And these are all things that we'll discuss as we get further in Siman Kuf Tzadi. But for our purposes now, what emerges here is that min haTorah, a woman is only tamea if the dam is accompanied with a hargasha. Midrabanan, she is tamea even if there is no hargasha. And whether you have this kula, that if it's found on a davar she'eino mekabel tuma, she is tahora even midrabanan, is a machlokes, according to Tosos, between the two Deus and Amoraim here on the top of Nefas Amud Aleph, and then we paskin that there is no tuma even midrabanan if it's on a davar she'eino mekabel tuma, but that is something we'll discuss as we go further. Okay, so again, for our purposes now, min haTorah, you need hargasha. If there's no hargasha, a woman is only tamea mi derabanan. So in order to understand what the nature of this requirement of hargasha is, I'd like to first deal with the issue of dam min haMakor b'li hargasha. What is the status of blood that we know, however we know full well that it came from the Makor, but there is no accompanying hargasha. Now, I'm deliberately not defining hargasha yet, as I'm sure you've seen, that is a subject of a major machlokas, but I think it'll be a little bit clearer if we first deal with this issue to understand what hargasha accomplishes, and then we can discuss the definition of hargasha. Was that a no? Or?
I was meaning to clear my head.
Okay, good. Okay, so what is the status of a woman who sees uterine blood without hargasha? So however she knows, either she attacks some kind of isotope, or she garment was clean, and now the only way it possibly could have become stained is minamakor. Whatever the situation is, I'm more concerned now about the theory than the practice. What is the status of a woman where dam is clearly min hamakor b'li hargasha? So the Ramban, in his Chidushim on Nun Beis Amud Beis at Ar Masechta, I think the Ramban is the most mefurash of the Rishonim on this topic. The Ramban writes that Ksamim Derabanan Heim, a stain not accompanied with Hargasha is only Derabanan, V'afilu B'yadua Shemigufa Chazai, even if she knows for a fact that the source of the blood was internal, still Devar Torah Tahora, still Min haTorah, she is Tahora. Okay, so the Ramban is the Farish, that even if you know full well that the blood comes from a source that would have rendered her Tameya, if it is not accompanied by a Hargasha, she is Tahora Min haTorah. Meaning, in order to be Tameya, you need Hargasha under all circumstances.
How would she know that it's definitely coming from inside her if there's no hargasha?
So you could have a situation where the kind of it comes together with some lecha levana, some kind of discharge that only could have come in a makor. You could have a situation in which the garment was checked immediately before, and then you saw the blood coming out, or somehow you see the blood coming out. Again, the theory is what I'm interested in here more than the practice. It's not all. In most situations, you wouldn't necessarily have that. You could construct such a case. You see where the dam's coming from, or you have some machinery, some device. But I'm more concerned about the theory than the practice. You could construct such a situation. So the Rabban is befeirish that even under the circumstances where you know full well the source of the blood, a woman is still tahora min hatorah. Again, now we're only talking about a daraisa level. Woman's still going to be presumably tamea, midrabbana, but we're talking about din taru. Okay, so that is the position of the Ramban, that if a woman sees dam shelo b'hargasha, under all circumstances, she is tahora min hatorah. The Rambam pretty much says that as well. The Rambam in the beginning of Perek Tes Isurei Bia Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes, Ein ha'isha mistama min ha'torah b'nida o b'ziva. A woman can only become tamei min ha'torah as a nida or a zava. Ad she'targish v'tir adam v'yetze b'visara. That she needs to have a hargasha, she needs to have a sensation, and she has to see dam that comes out b'visara. So b'visara doesn't necessarily mean out of her body, because the Rambam tells us a line later, it means that even in the prose there, as long as it leaves the makor, but a woman has to see dam, it has to come out of the rechem, and it has to be accompanied by a hargasha. In any situation in which there is no hargasha, even if stipulation 2 exists, even if we know it came min harechem, a woman is tahora min hatora. Okay. So according to these Rishonim, the Rambam, the Ramban, and the others that we're not quoting right now, there is basically a Gzeiras HaKasev. It's a drasha that Shmuel presents, but it's essentially a Gzeiras HaKasev that you need to have Hargasha. Without Hargasha, under all circumstances, a woman is going to be Tahora Min HaTorah. And this is a question that was framed by the Maram Lublin in Simon Beis, Shuvah Maram Lublin, Simon Beis, in a tshuva that was actually written to the Shalach HaKadosh, where he raises this question and concludes that Hargasha is essentially a Gzeiras HaKasev, and he quotes multiple rayos from Gemaras to support that position. Even if it's a Gzeiras HaKasev, we still could explain why is it a Gzeiras HaKasev, or what is the mechanics, what is the thinking behind the requirement of Hargasha. The Sidre Tara suggests, Sidre Tara has, in addition to his long commentary on Seder Shulchan Aruch, he also has a briefer collection of Chidushim al Seder HaMasechta, which is called the Chidur Halacha. So he raises the suggestion that what's important about Hargasha is that without Hargasha, it's not Derech Re'iyah Bekach. It's not the normal way of seeing blood. That is definitionally the norm for how a woman becomes tamea, because that is derech re'iyah b'kach, which is something we may come back to in a little bit. So the Aruch HaShulchan in R. Simon Kuf Pei Gimel Oz Mem Zayin, the Aruch HaShulchan contends that no one in the world holds, there's no position, shouldn't say no one in the world, he contends that there's no position in Rishonim that argues, no position in Rishonim that would say that if a woman knows full well that the blood came min hamakor without hargasha, that she is tamei min hatorah. Meaning all Rishonim assume, like the position that we just outlined. And I guess in the classic yeshivisha language, the question is whether hargasha is a simen or a siva. Do we say that hargasha is the be-all and end-all explanation requirement, that it is a requirement in and of itself, it is a siba, that is a be-all and end-all, which is what we've explained until now, or do we say the other position, which we'll have to source now. The other position, that Hargasha is a simen, it's an indicator. Do we say that it's only an indicator that the dam came min hamakor? And if we have other indications or other objective knowledge that can prove that, then a woman could be tamei min haTorah even without Hargasha. So when the Aruch HaShulchan says there's no position in Rishonim that Hargasha is a simen, that Hargasha is an indicator, he's coming to argue on the Sidrei Tara. The Sidrei Tara has a very lengthy piece in Simen Kuf Sadi, Sif Kat and Sadi Gimel. It goes for columns and columns and columns. And the Sidrei Tara argues that, in fact, this is the more normative position, that Hargasha is only an indicator, and if I have other indications, then a woman could be Tmeya without Hargasha. He thinks that this is the position of Rashi and Tosfos. We're not going to go into the details now for lack of time, but there are definitely contrary indications, conflicting indications, in different Rashis and Tosfos in the Masechta. If you're interested, I can direct you to the specific paragraphs in the Sidrei Tara. However, yeah, Jake.
Sidrei Tara says both that it's blood without Hargasha is not Therapuria, and that it is a simen.
So the first thing he says in explaining a line in the Gemara, which could work to explain the other position, but in terms of what he comes at l'halacha, in the lengthy explanation in Sifkat and Sadi Gimel, he comes out assuming that. That the requirement of Hargasha is a simen, an indicator, and not a be-all and end-all in of itself. So, despite the Aruch HaShulchan's contention that there is no such position in Rishonim, there are some Rishonim that do seem to say it, Rishonim that the Aruch HaShulchan may not have had access to, Rishonim that may not have been published years ago. The Tos of the Rid, which I put in the Mar Mekomos in the beginning of Perek Haroah Kesem, the Tos of the Rid is very mashma that if you know for a fact that the dam comes min hamakor, then a woman could be tameya even without Hargasha. Says the Tos of the Rid. So he starts with the Memor of Shmuel. Shmuel says, as we just quoted, that if a woman examines a piece of earth and finds it to be clean, and then she sits on it and finds dam on that piece of earth, then she is tameya, because you require Hargasha. So the Rid explains, dafka in hirgisha v'yada sheyatza adam in besara. Only if a woman has a Hargasha, and she knows, she has knowledge, that the dam came from inside her. Oh, he tameya. That's the situation in which she is tamei according to Shmuel. Aval, im lo hirgisha sheyatza mibesara, if she did not have a hargasha, if she didn't have such a sensation that the dam came out of her body, kigon zeh shenimsa hadam vikarka, as in the situation that Shmuel discusses where you see the blood on the ground, tahorahi, she is tahora. The Omar lo badka yafa. She probably should be Amar lo badka yafa. Maybe she didn't sufficiently check the piece of earth. Ubekarka hava haidam eikara. And maybe the dam was there from the beginning. So our concern is only that maybe she didn't check things out sufficiently beforehand. So if she now sees dam there without Hargasha, then maybe the dam is there anyway and she didn't check properly. But, mashma, that if we know for a fact that she did check properly, or we know for a fact that the dam came mibisara, then even absent Hargasha, she's still going to be tameya min hatarah. Okay, the Tos Rit says the only concern is maybe she didn't check the ground properly, mashma. If we know for sure that the dam came mibisara, and it's not just that we didn't check the ground properly, then even without Hargasha, she would be Tameya min haTorah. Yeah. So, actually, Targish Bibsara means she has a Hargasha inside of her, and that Hargasha leads us to assume that it's min haMakor. So, for all intents and purposes, that all goes together right now.
But, sorry, if she didn't check the ground.
Right.
So,
So is anything the Maisa she's going to be Tameh? How she's still?
If she didn't check the ground, so she's going to be Tahora because maybe the Dam is on the ground before.
She checked the ground.
If she checked the ground.
Tameh?
Even if she checked the ground, maybe she didn't check good enough. But in theory, if we knew that the Dam came in on Makor, however we know, then she could be Tameh even without Argasha. I mean, the Torah of it doesn't say the reason that she is Tahora where she didn't check the ground is because there's no Hargasha. He says it's because maybe she didn't check well enough.
You said in the line before.
I'm sorry?
Didn't you say in the line before that there's no Hargasha, that she's not?
Didn't he explain the first line?
He's explaining the Gemara, right? The Gemara says that if there's no Hargasha, she is Tahora. Why? Because maybe she didn't check well enough.
Yeah, but he says...
Yeah?
I'll come after.
I'll read it to you again. Amr Shmuel Baka Vakarka Ola Vyashvila Vamasa Dam Tahar Shanam Sar Shadakin Chusar, that's just quoting the Gemara. Perish Dafka in here Gisha Vyada Shiatsahadami Basara. Oh, that's Hitameya. Avalim Lower Gisha Shiatsami Basara. Kigon Zashinim Sadam Bikarka Tahorahi. De Eva Lobaka Yafa Ubakarka Vahidame Ikara.
Why is he talking about, why does he have to then rephrases it, but if there's no Hargasha, you should just left that out. It's not according to what Rebbe's saying, it's not relevant. It's not relevant if she has a Hargasha. Meaning the first line is and the second line are common.
Well, it is relevant because if she had Hargasha, she's definitely Tameh. If she did have a Hargasha, so under most circumstances she's gonna be Tahora because we can be Tola that maybe she didn't check properly. But in theory, if it was the case that the reason she's Tahora is because there's no Hargasha period, then full stop.
Doesn't matter.
Ibn Lara Gisha, period.
Would you mention that she didn't check properly? It's irrelevant then? Yeah.
Right. Now, I grant that one could read the Rid like you're trying to say, but I think the simplest reading of the Rid is that that whole extra line is superfluous and irrelevant if he doesn't hold that that Hargasha is not the be-all and end-all.
Unless it's that you couldn't maybe... Some Rishonim would say that maybe she didn't realize she had Argasha. Meaning the reason he has to say if she didn't have Argasha and she doesn't find blood there, meaning that the concern would be that she had Argasha but didn't realize it.
Right, so you think Rashi says the reason we have Kula Samim is Dilma Argasha, the reason that a Kasim is still Tamei Midrabanan is Dilma Argasha Lavadaita, that maybe she had Argasha, she didn't realize it, right? So that's why we're Matmar and Samim. So you want to say what? Maybe the Tazarid is assuming like Rashi, because Tazarid always assumes like Rashi. Tazarid is often Mefarish Gemara like Rashi. So you want to say what? That Dilma Argasha Vlavadaita, and therefore?
So then he says if she wasn't, he specifies in Lo Yergisha, and then if we're, sorry, he said we're concerned that she didn't check it well enough?
Maybe she didn't check it well enough, right.
Because she didn't check it well enough.
That's why she's Tahora Minotaurah. Because maybe the Dam really was there, she didn't realize.
That's
okay, good. So even if you want to argue that the Tosafot really doesn't say it, I think the Pashtus and the later Sfarim usually explain the Tosafot really this way. I think the simple reading of the Tosafot really is the way we explain. Even if you don't want to grant that, at least there's a Marach or Zeruah. Marach or Zeruah, Shuvah Simen Kuf Yud Beis, writes, Kama in Yanim, there are certain situations. Shafilu in Eina Margeshes Nasis Nidavados. Certain situations where even if a woman doesn't have a Hargasha, she is still Vadai Nida. And he says that he wants to discuss this with a certain Rabbeinu Avadya. And then he says, Kolomar Shemaz Adam Bibisara, Afilu in Eina Margeshes Bitsiyasa. That if she sees Dam on her body, even without Hargasha, and there's no possibility of Taliyah, there's no possibility that it came from anywhere else, or she sees Dam internally, and there's no possibility it came from anywhere else, she'd be Tameya even without Hargasha. So just to conclude, as we're out of time, the general consensus approach in Poskim is that Hargasha is a Siba, not a Simen. like the first position we started with, that Hargosha is the be-all and end-all, and even if you know full well that the Dam comes min a Makor, without Hargosha, women would be Tahora min a Torah. That is the position of most poskim, like the Aruch HaShulchan against the Sidrei Tara. That is the position the Rav Avadya points out is the consensus position in the beginning of Taras Habayis. And if you look on the page of Shulchan Aruch, that's what the Gilyan Marashar of Shlomo Eger says as well. V'hu shetargish b'tziyaso. Af b'yadua v'adei shedam imena. Even if we know full well that it came from her, tahora midaraisa, kol shelo hirgisha. And he says, nafkamina, for what kind of tshuva you need to do. Because the tshuva for an iser deraisa is different than the tshuva for an iser derabana. So just to sum up, we briefly began our discussion of hargasha. What emerges is that in order to be tmeya min haTorah, a woman has to have a sensation, a hargasha. If she lacks a hargasha, she is only tmeya mi derabanan, which has the ensuing kulos samim. And we discussed briefly that there is an issue as to whether we view hargasha as an absolute gzeiras hakasev, as what we'll call a siva, a be-all and end-all, that absent hargasha, there's no situation in which a woman can be tmeya min ha-tara, or do we say that hargasha is simply an indicator that the dam comes min ha-makor, and if I have other indications, a woman can be tmeya as well. And the consensus position is like the first approach, that you need hargasha under all circumstances. So that will lead us to further discussion of the nature of hargasha. We'll next time go in, Emir Tzashem, to discuss exactly what a hargasha is and what is the status of hargasha bizman hazeh. Okay, so just schedule-wise,